Okay, thanks, she said. I'm going to run out to the barn for a second, and then to bed.
Why?
There's something I want to hunt for. I won't be a minute.
She felt his eyes on her back as she went out the door. She walked to the barn, opened the door, and used the daylight to see inside. She had seen it when she'd given Bodhi's leash to Misha. There, a stuffed rabbit of Bodhi's, a faded pink. It was rabbit-shaped but had no eyes or mouth, a toy made for a dog without little bits they could choke on. He'd liked to play fetch with tennis balls the most, but that hadn't worked so well indoors. This had been his indoor toy, and it was as much of him as she could have right now. She stuffed it into the back waistband of her shorts and went back inside. "Sleep well," her father said. "Thanks," she said, rushing past him so he wouldn't notice the lump of the plush toy under her shirt. In the bedroom, she took it out and sniffed it. It still smelled vaguely of her dog, and that made her eyes fill with tears again. She crawled into bed and hugged it, wishing it were bigger. Crazy thought. Had it been bigger, Bodhi wouldn't have been able to play fetch with it. But she wanted something more substantial to hug. She wanted her dog, is what she wanted. To be a girl again. A teenager with a dog and friends and dates. And not a killer. It took a long time for her to get to sleep. When she rose at midday, she hunted for Arch and asked for a watch assignment that evening after supper.
It may be that we don't need to keep watches carefully. Kelly only went out every half hour on her watch today and walked the perimeter.
Until we know more about how things will go with Payson, I think it's a good idea, especially at night, she said, and at dusk.
Okay. If you want to take a normal watch, you certainly can. And thank you. You sure you're up to it?
I'm sure, she said. But that wasn't entirely true. She was afraid she might hesitate to shoot someone. Still, being on watch was preferable, because she didn't want to spend the evening under the watchful eye of her father. He'd know something was bothering her. The next morning, a car full of their people made ready to go to Payson. Joan was going, of course, though she was leaving her girls here. She was crucial to the negotiations, knowing firsthand what life was like both in the neighborhoods and the town. Pilar was going because he knew a few people down there, and because he was even-tempered. Kelly was going, and Arch. Before he left the house, Pilar said to Sierra, "I hope she can keep him in line." "She usually can. I don't want him to blurt out something that angers someone. There are still more of them than there are of us. And they're armed again. We left them the rifles and ammunition. I'll remind Arch of that. That we armed them. If we armed them, they might remember that and never turn them on us." Sierra had read enough military history by now that she knew that was a hope that might not come true. Arming the enemy of your enemy seldom turned out well in the long run, but she didn't say anything. They needed peace in the short term, more than they needed to think about 2 or 5 years from now. Or maybe only she needed that. In any case, she was happy to be skipping that trip into Payson. They had met about the meeting as a group soon after dawn. Arch had asked her to go several times, saying,
"You're sure you don't want to?"
"I'm sure," she'd said.
"You're known now. Something of a hero to them, I imagine. It might be useful to have you there, even if you just stood and said nothing." Kurt had been in on that discussion, and he had said, "I can imagine a news picture. The stoic, unsmiling, but beautiful girl hero, hair blowing in the breeze, rifle held, port arms."
"Don't," Sierra had said. "I'm none of those things." He looked strangely at her, but she hadn't met his eyes. When it had all been hashed out, Kurt was staying behind, and Sierra and Dev. They'd tend their homes and share watches. Rudy was staying behind with the children for now. He had asked Joan to find his aunt and uncle, and had given her their names and address. Kelly said, "We'll bring the Payson kids back tonight, when we have everything settled." Pilar had frowned at that. "We're not holding them back as hostages?" "No, of course not,"
Kelly said. It's only a few hours' delay, but I want to make sure everything is okay down there before sending them back into it. What if there's total social unrest when we drive in? If I have to fight my way back out, I don't want to be worried about protecting children while I do it. So they were going armed, but with handguns, concealed, ready for trouble but hoping there'd be none. Now, almost ready to go, Pilar patted his waist where his own gun was, in a belt holster borrowed from Arch. Can you see it?
No,
she said. Your shirt covers it. It's oversized on you. I've lost a few pounds.
We all have.
You'll be okay here?
I think I'm the one who should be worried about you.
Though she wasn't. All her normal emotions were flattened out. It was like her feelings over shooting Roy had pushed out everything else. If she was worried about Pilar's safety, it was a distant thing, like the flapping of bird wings far away.
You think there will be problems there?
No. You know how to talk with people, how to listen.
Only after they left did she have the thought that it could get bad down there if Jackson had remembered the details of last night and talked about them. If the Paysonites knew she'd killed Roy, they might want her there for her punishment. Again, the stench and filth of the jail returned to her. She didn't want to be put in there, but if it came to that, she'd go. She wouldn't run away to the woods or try and escape her fate or anything so foolish. She'd take her punishment, whatever it was, though she worried what it would do to Pilar. He'd be heartbroken, and so disappointed in her. Chapter 20 It was full dark, and Sierra was getting worried. Kurt had done his guard duty and was back at his house, but Sierra and Dev were waiting at the end of their road for the sound of an approaching car.
You don't think it all went to hell, do you?
Dev said.
I hope not.
But what do you think?
Sierra tried to think it through from an optimistic perspective.
Maybe it went okay, but they had a lot of details to talk about.
Maybe my father said something rude and it took an hour to calm everybody down.
Also possible. They stood in silence for a time. Dev cleared his throat a couple of times.
You getting sick?
She asked. Maybe he'd caught something in Payson being around all those strangers.
No, I just...
He cleared his throat and started again.
About what I said the other night.
She did not want to talk about it right now. She needed more something, more time, more of her old, confident self to draw upon before she could have a big emotional showdown with Dev over his crush on her. She heard a very distant grinding sound, tires on pavement.
Shh. Listen.
Dev shifted the grip on his rifle and tensed up. She heard that more than saw it. Full night was almost here, and there were clouds overhead again.
It's them, she said. Our folks.
How do you know?
One vehicle. If it were bad news, an attack from Payson, it'd be more, or they'd be attacking on foot.
Good point.
A diffuse light came into view down at the last curve, and then the headlights appeared. She recognized their shape. It was the Morrow Electric. Good. Everything must have gone okay. The car pulled up, and Dev started to get the winch out.
No, son, leave it, Arch said, emerging from the driver's seat. Joan's going right back with the kids.
All of them? Dev said.
There's nine. They won't fit.
Six of them tonight. The ones who have parents alive. The others will go down tomorrow, and she'll try to get them placed with relatives or neighbors or good Samaritans.
Sierra gave Pilar a hand getting around the log.
Thanks. He said. Everything okay here?
Fine.
How'd it go? Dev asked his mother as he helped her over.
As well as could be hoped. Let's wait until tomorrow and have a neighborhood meeting first thing. We're all beat. It was emotionally draining down there. I need a good night's rest.
She turned to Sierra and laid a hand on her shoulder.
Come with me to get the six kids, would you?
You know which ones?
I do. I have a list.
She pulled out a piece of paper.
See you in a few minutes,
Pilar said to her.
I'm starved.
I made soup,
Sierra said. From a cookbook recipe. Go ahead if you want and start eating without me.
As she walked up the road with Kelly, she said,
Are the other three kids' parents dead?
Yes, or fled. Though how a parent could flee without a child, I can't explain. It was confusing how the children were, whatever, captured, when they were taken. There were conflicting stories, and I'm not sure we'll ever know the truth.
Maybe the truth doesn't matter, Sierra said. Maybe what matters is the future.
If only that were true.
They made it to the Kershaw house and found Rudy entertaining the children by reading to them. Everyone turned to look as the two women entered.
Well?
Rudy said. Kelly said, We're taking some of you home today and some tomorrow. Isn't that good news?
The children's faces suggested it was not entirely good news. Only one jumped up and said,
Yay!
But when she saw the other children weren't responding similarly, that one sat back down. Sierra was able to quit worrying about herself and worry about someone else. These poor children were going to be screwed up forever, weren't they? She saw Emily standing in the doorway to the bedroom, ready to bolt. Yes, another child ruined by all this. It was too awful to think about. Her situation was too awful to think about. Everything was. She wanted to run home, throw her blanket over her head, and shut the whole world out. But there was work to do, so she stood her ground. Kelly took out the list and read the names. The excited girl was the fourth one, and she jumped up and nearly vibrated with excitement. One other boy raised his hand when his name was called.
Sierra? Rudy said. Please raise your hand.
Obediently, she did.
Okay. You two go with Sierra,
he said, naming the two responsive ones. Sierra held out her hands, and the girl ran to her. The boy looked at the other children, then back at Sierra, hesitant.
Rudy said,
It's okay. You'll all be home by tomorrow and see each other again. You probably will all go to school again in the fall. Everything will be okay.
The boy came to Sierra, but refused to take her extended hand.
I'm too old for that. He said,
Okay, she agreed. Let's go to the car. In the dark, they walked together down the road, the little girl swinging their arms and chattering on. Okay, not every child was ruined by it. This one girl seemed pretty resilient, and so was Misha. The boy said,
I can't see.
I can,
Sierra said.
I've been outside longer. Take my hand. Not because you're too young. But because I can see a little better.
He did. And a couple minutes later, they were in the splash of light from the headlights. The boy dropped her hand. She lifted the children over the log to Dev on the other side, and he got them situated in the back seat. He was very kind to them, gentle. For a moment, she wished she could return his feelings. But she couldn't. Didn't. Kelly appeared next with two children. And then a minute later, Rudy arrived with the last two. Sierra and Dev worked together to get those four children situated in the car. It was not meant for more than four people, but they managed.
My aunt and uncle?
Rudy said.
Kelly said. Joan will be home later and talk to you about that.
That sounds bad,
Rudy said.
Kelly hesitated.
Your uncle is fine, and he wants to see you. Very much wants to see you.
My aunt?
I'm sorry,
she said, shaking her head. The car backed up and then drove away, taking the light it had provided with it. After a long moment of silence in the dark, Rudy said,
Does my uncle know about Oliver?
He does. I told him.
I have to get back to the others,
Rudy said.
They'll be scared.
And he turned and left for the Kershaw house, his footsteps crunching down the gravel road.
Nice kid,
Kelly said.
Not a great soldier, Dev said a few seconds later, when the footsteps had faded.
But yeah, a good-hearted person.
So are you,
his mother said to him.
Where's your father?
Went home to make sure everything was secure, he said.
That man... He really does trust you, Devlin. Sierra could nearly hear the shrug that probably greeted that statement. She said,
"Okay, I have to get back to Pilar and supper. See you guys tomorrow morning."
"I'll do fresh bread and jam at our place," Kelly said. "8 sharp."
"Okay,"
Sierra said, and she walked home. She had a midnight guard shift again, but that was fine. She wasn't going to sleep that well anyway. May as well do something useful as lie in bed and think about what might have been's. Pilar was waiting for her to begin supper. He had sliced the bread, and the soup was on the stove, simmering.
"You okay?"
"Sure."
"Sierra, something is bothering you."
She cast around for a good explanation.
"The kids. I'm worried about how screwed up all this will make them. They've lost parents, some of them. They've been in a battle, been ripped from their homes. It's hard."
"It is. And you're good to think of them. But that's not what's wrong."
That lie hadn't worked. She shrugged.
"I'm a little down."
"About what?"
She didn't want to tell him.
"I'm not sure."
"Is it that we may be done with shooting for a while?"
"Are we done?"
she said.
"Did it go that well in Payson?"
"We think so. And time will tell, but yes. For now, I don't think we need to worry about the Payson people, or the other neighborhood. Definitely not the other neighborhood. Francie's."
"Were any of them there?"
"Francie, Wes, and 6 others."
"Did they mention Jackson?"
"Who?"
"A guy I fought with. He was shot in the back."
"There was someone hurt they picked up in Payson and took home. Is that what you've been worried about?"
"Yes."
Much easier to lie, to have him think this, than to explain the truth.
"Good man?"
"The best," she said. "How's the soup?"
"Edible," he said.
"That bad?"
"No, it's fine. A little heavy on the parsley."
"I followed the recipe," she said. "But I take responsibility for it being bad."
"Often you can have the spices and herbs in a recipe. Probably should only use a pinch from now on so they last longer."
"We grow parsley."
"You're right, but we don't grow everything. I'm going to miss vanilla and cinnamon when they're gone."
"Can't we grow them?"
"We have no plants. Cinnamon is a tree, tropical, so I doubt it can take the freezing we get. Vanilla comes from an orchid, probably a damned fussy plant." He ripped a new piece of bread into quarters. "And we don't have one anyway, and I'd be shocked if anyone in Payson has one."
"We'll live without."
"We will. Which reminds me, tomorrow morning, before the meeting, we need to set several hens to brooding. All of tomorrow's eggs and the day after that. We have plenty on hand right now for us to eat."
"You want chicks for Payson?"
"Yes. We made a trade. We went through the hardware store and Walmart and found some useful stuff left. So hens and end-of-season seeds are the deal we made for it." She tried to work herself around to curiosity. She didn't succeed, but she knew how to fake it.
"What are we trading for?"
"Fencing and grain seed and terracotta pots. Kelly decided to turn that other place, the burned-out neighborhood, into a grain farm. We'll do it with Francie's group, share the expense, the supplies, I mean, and the work and the grain that results."
"What kind of grain?"
"Oats and amaranth. The oats were there at the hardware store's feed, but Kelly thinks they aren't treated and should still sprout. The amaranth was in with birdseed and passed over when people were looking for food, and that's great for us."
"Have I ever eaten amaranth?"
"I don't think I've served it. Maybe in some mixed cereal. But what it's good for is drought. Our world is only going to get drier and hotter for longer than you'll be alive. And amaranth can take dry conditions. It will live through the worst summers we can imagine."
"And you can make bread of it?"
"I'm sure Kelly can make a hell of a good bread from it. I'll do my usual workman-like loaf, no doubt. The oats we can eat as breakfast or in bread. It will stretch what flour we have to grow additional grains. But also, both grains are to supplement the hen's diet. The hens can get a lot from foraging, but they'll give us more eggs if we can get them supplemental grain. We have some field corn growing, and we'll expand that here in our yard. But the grain farm will really help keep the egg production up.
And the pots?
That's for growing what? Herbs or flowers?
No, there's a thing someone from Francie's neighborhood knew about. There's this ancient system called alas.
Mexican? Indian? She said. Her curiosity sparked a little.
The other India, he said. Or China. She wasn't sure. You bury these pots and run tubing, like regular irrigation tubing, or traditional reeds, from your water source to the pots, which you bury among the garden plants. It's like drip irrigation, but only uses a fraction of the water. We could even tap the stream for that, as long as we have a year-long stream. If that dries up, we'll get better at collecting rainwater. Arch had his eyes on some other irrigation equipment down there, and we talked about that. None of it will look that attractive to people in Payson yet, with their water still coming out of the taps. But if we can trade for it, fair and square right now, may do us great good in the future.
What's to stop them from coming up in force and attacking us to get it back in 5 years?
Nothing. Nothing except that there won't be any gas to drive up here. The other neighborhood will have to worry more. Not only are they closer to Payson, they have more people, more homes, and more resources. We're safer. Plus, Arch says he has some ideas on making us even more so.
I'm sure he does.
What spark of curiosity she'd had was gone, and she was back to feeling the heavy mood descend on her again. She ate quickly before her appetite abandoned her. She knew she needed fuel, and so she took it in, a duty rather than a pleasure.
I'll do dishes, if you want to get started on the hens. I need to get to sleep early because I have a watch at midnight.
Don't work too hard.
I'm not, she said.
She needed to work harder, if anything. But the weight of her guilt was making it hard to do anything at all. Even cutting up meat and vegetables for the soup had been a draining physical chore. Roy's face haunted her. His voice. And her worry about who he'd left behind and how they felt. Heaviest of all was her not knowing what to do about any of it.
Chapter 21 Rudy had gone back to Payson with the last of the children and Joan at dawn. He had stopped at their place to thank them, waking them with an apology. He said he would be living with his uncle.
And I want to keep working with the kids. They like me. They trust me. We have something in common. If their parents will let me, I'd like to try and set up some kind of program down there.
I'd back you, Pilar said. You've done wonders with those children, and who knows how many teachers have survived. They'll welcome your help, I'm sure.
Joan hadn't yet returned when they met at 8 at the Quinn place. As usual, Kelly had outdone herself with the food. As it was daylight, no one was standing guard. After they'd eaten some cinnamon bread with fresh apple butter, they began to talk. Arch said,
The good news is, mostly we'll leave Payson alone, and they'll leave us alone. That's how I want it.
But we'll help them, Pilar said.
We've already helped, Arch said. We freed them,
Kelly said.
And we'll remind them of that, and not all of our help will come at once. Our commitment to give them some seed stock for next spring's plantings, that one we won't fulfill until March, 6 months from now. And we've never mentioned the rabbits, and that's something we can trade with in the future. A few breeding pairs of rabbits would go a long way down there.
Arch said, I'm worried they'll just eat the chicks we give them.
Pilar said, I doubt very much they'll do that.
Kelly said, If they do, that's their choice. It's a one-time offer, in trade for supplies. We've made that clear. If they mess it up, that's on them.
Though it'd be easy enough to do it again next year, Pilar said.
Kelly answered, Only if there's something we really want from them, and we all looked hard in the hardware store. I think we identified everything there.
Might still be some stuff at the junkyard, Arch said.
Considering what happened this summer, I think you should stay away from the junkyard,
Kelly said to him.
Hmm,
Arch said, and then took a slurp of coffee.
Dev said,
Would you go through it point by point, Mom, so me and Sierra and Kurt can catch up? Kelly said,
Good idea. Okay, here's how it went, for those of you who weren't there. And she settled in to telling the story of the meeting. The Paysonites were mixed in their attitude. Some were grateful, some were angry and jealous, and some were just plain scared of anyone they didn't know well.
For which I can't blame them, Kelly said.
Pilar nodded. Kelly told about the Alas and her plans for the grain farm, about the fencing and all that. She told Kurt she'd bargained for his wire, which Sierra was surprised to hear that she'd asked for. He caught her confused look and gave her a half-smile.
For more traps. We'll be needing them, for us and for trade.
There were 20 or 30 details Kelly went through, and she finished with, So what we have to start with is, we visit Payson once a month on the first of the next 3 months, until the last of the chicks are delivered. We come back here each time with supplies and trade. We have a message system with the other neighborhood, and we're going to meet with them much more often.
Arch said, They're going to repair the Morrow turbine. That's job number one. But we're going to interact more with them. Makes sense. They're our closest neighbors, so we should keep that relationship friendly if at all possible.
Pilar said, Plus, they understand our perspective. They're most like us.
True, Kurt said. What's our deal with them?
For now, we'll meet every Monday at noon at the burned-out neighborhood. We'll build the grain garden, clearing land where the burned-out houses' yards were.
Wait, Dev said. Weren't you going to find someone to live there?
Not necessary, Arch said. There are plenty of empty places in Payson.
They all were silent for a moment, thinking of why that was.
Anyway, we meet once a week, trade, get to know each other better, work on the garden so it's ready to plant next spring, and make plans, Kelly said.
In the winter, we might also do some trading of people before it snows.
What do you mean? Kurt said.
Temporary trading. Like Sierra and Dev might go down and two of their young people might come up for a week. Everybody learning all the tricks and survival strategies of the others. We all agree on that one thing. That we probably know things we don't even realize the others don't.
I don't like it, Arch said. It means they'll learn about our defenses.
Which is why I'll push for the young people, Kelly said. Theirs won't have the military experience of Sierra and Dev, and so we'll come out ahead there. Also, we can hide things from them we don't want them to know about.
Or lie, Arch said.
Sure, honey, Kelly said. But anyway, that's the future, that kind of thing. First, we need to do more limited trading of work and knowledge and build up that relationship. We need to clean up the burned-out neighborhood and prepare the soil. Then, when we get the supplies from Payson, starting with the fencing, we build the grain farm.
Dev said, Do the Payson people know about the grain farm?
No, Arch said. Just that we want the grain for our hens.
Will they be mad if they find out eventually?
Kelly said, Not if we return some starter seed to them, I imagine. Then they can do the same thing. If they follow our advice and take good care of the hens, in 2 years, they'll have no food worries.
And they won't die before then, Arch said. Not if they get the gardening right and shoot some deer.
Sierra spoke up for the first time.
There was some canned food I was shown that the invaders had hoarded. Maybe not a can per household, but it was something.
Joan may be dealing with that today. I'm not sure, Kelly said, frowning. Or maybe she'll wait until she moves back.
Joan finally came in a moment later, a child in tow. It was a 7 or 8 year old boy.
Hi, this is Rod. He's going to be staying with me and the girls.
Hey, Rod, Kelly said. I bet Dev can find some of his old toys for you.
Where are they? Dev asked her.
In the shop. There's a box on a high shelf over by the air compressor, labeled clearly.
She explained to Dev where to find it.
I was saving some things for the grandkids.
What grandkids? Arch said,
sounding irritated.
"The ones I hope to have one day, Arch,"
Kelly explained with exaggerated patience.
"Can I go with him?"
Rod asked Joan.
"Sure, just don't touch anything dangerous. There's probably some sharp tools out there,"
Dev said. "Remember when I left, Mom, so you can catch me up on everything I'm missing." He went out, Rod trailing. Kelly said to Joan,
"His parents are dead? He seems pretty calm about it. He already knew they were. He knew he had no other relatives in town. They were fairly new to town and no one offered to take him in. I shouldn't have exposed him to some of my pleading with people to take him, in hindsight. But I can keep him. He's not a bad kid at all."
"Congratulations, then," Kelly said, reaching over to take Joan's hand and squeeze it.
"On your new son."
"I suppose that's what he is. I'm exhausted," she said, and sank down into the chair Dev had vacated. "Emotionally."
"Let me fix you some bacon,"
Kelly said, starting to get up.
"No, that's okay. Can I have that last chunk of bread? It smells wonderful."
"Go on. We've eaten our fill.
Well, except for Dev, who can eat 8,000 calories a day without blinking."
"If you want to save it for him, do,"
Joan said.
"No, I was joking. Go on,"
Pilar said. "The apple butter is great, too." Joan took a bite and nodded her agreement.
"Excellent. So, I have a favor to ask of you."
"Who?
Me?"
Kelly said.
"All of you."
Joan looked around the table.
"Can the three, no, four, of us stay? I'll do my share of work. I won't shoot myself again."
She raised her bandaged hand and gave it an irritated look.
"And I'll get better at self-defense."
"I'd be happy to have you,"
Kelly said.
"I'm thrilled,"
Pilar said.
"You pull your weight, and you're a good neighbor. That land will feed the four of you if you take good care of it."
"I'll teach you how to turn those crab apples into jelly,"
Kelly said.
"At least until your sugar runs out."
"I think it's a great idea,"
Kurt said.
"But why? Why not return to your home?"
"I don't want to stay there. It isn't the town I knew. I don't have faith in their future, the way I have faith in yours. I think..."
And she frowned, as if trying to figure out how to say the next bit.
"That a group of 10 or 12 or 20 people will be able to adapt and flourish. But I'm not so sure about a group of thousands. Do you know what I mean?"
Sierra did. Arch said,
"There will always be a few rotten apples in a big group."
"Yes," Joan said. "And perfectly reasonable people who start fighting with each other just for the sake of fighting. Believe me, like every priest, minister, and rabbi, I know a lot about that side of human nature."
"Will you ever go back to your house?"
Kelly asked.
"Or the church?"
"I don't need to. I brought most of the kids' things today, everything important to them. Misha's rock collection, that sort of thing. All our clothes, linens, keepsakes, a folding cot and an air mattress. I packed the car full, trunk and back seat, hoping you'd say yes."
Pilar said, "You should have known we'd say yes."
"I didn't want to assume."
"So you lost Rudy, but gained this Rod kid."
"We all lost Rudy."
"I hope he doesn't give away any of our secrets," Arch said. "I suppose I need to move the tripwire, that sort of thing."
"I doubt he remembers all that much," Sierra said. "He was never a good warrior,"
Arch said.
"Not like you."
For a moment, she'd been able to forget her worries, but that one stung. She'd not worried until now what Arch would think of her if he knew her secret, or the other people at this table. She'd thought of Pilar's reaction, of course, but she'd lose the respect of everyone here. Only what she deserved. Was there no way out of this? It was like a cyclone of feelings inside her most of the time. Guilt and remorse and shame. And fear, too. Fear of being found out. Fear of telling. Fear of not telling. She had missed a few exchanges, but tuned back in when Kurt said her name.
Sorry, I was thinking about...
She cast about in her mind for a good lie.
Standing watches. Do you think things are safe enough we can quit standing watch, Arch? Or should we continue as before?
For now, I'd like to stick to a 3-hour-per-day schedule. Or wait. He counted people at the table. Plus Dev is 7. So 3 hours and some minutes per day. Kurt said, 3 hours and just under a half an hour.
Pilar said, easier to give one person a 4-hour shift, everyone else 3.
Sierra said, give the longer shift to me. Well, that wouldn't be fair.
Kelly said,
we'll rotate it, and we'll rotate night shifts like before too. Arch will work it out.
You mean I'll work it out and you'll correct it?
He said. Pilar shook his head and rolled his eyes at them. Back to normal, Sierra thought. Everyone was back to normal. Everyone but her.
Chapter 22. In the next week, their world went back to a routine, but a calmer routine than since the first man had tried to steal food from Arch's shop and had been shot. No one attacked. And Arch was working hard on a secret project, as he called it, to make sure attack would be less likely. Several hens were sitting on eggs. The garden was bearing, and they'd planted new crops of green beans, peas, radishes, cabbages, beets, and carrots for late fall harvest. A few weeks from now, they'd plant salad crops again, leaf lettuce and spinach. They'd relied on internet weather forecasts before to know when the first frost was coming to harvest the last of the delicate foods. But this fall, they'd have to do something different, rely on their best guess, and hope an early frost didn't catch them unaware. Everything was normal in the neighborhood. Everything except Sierra. She was still having more bad moments than good. She did her work, but sometimes she wondered why she was bothering. She'd been avoiding Dev, but one day, she had to take over for him for watch duty, and made herself deal with the unresolved issue between them.
I want to talk with you, she said. Wait, would you?
This can't be good, he said.
It is good, she said. Good for you. Maybe bad for me, but that's as it should be.
Look, I was hurt, and I had a headache. And I didn't know what I was saying.
You did know. And I know you've got a crush on me.
It felt far better to call it a crush, and maybe it was kinder to him to use that word.
But I'm not the person for you, Dev. I'm really not.
I get it. You don't like me.
Not true. I like you a lot. I trust you. I think you're a really good man. Like how you've been with Rod this week? That's just so sweet to see you teaching him things, like hammering and all that. You're going to be a great husband and father one day.
But not with you. He was looking at the ground.
Oh, Dev, you deserve so much better than me.
That made him look up. Better than you? Who is smarter than you? Prettier than you?
Beauty is only skin deep. You've heard that one, haven't you?
You're beautiful deeper than that. And you're strong.
I want kids.
You have that right. I want a strong mother for them. A fighter. A killer? She shook her head.
We're going to be interacting in Payson, and with the other place, with Wes's people. And if that thing goes through where you go stay there for a week or two in the winter, there might be a wonderful girl down there for you. Anyone who has survived is going to be tough and smart. You just need to find someone kind and good, too, and who likes you the way that you like her.
I don't want anyone else. She wanted to cry.
I am a terrible person, Dev. I really am. If you can't see that now, you will one day. And I'm not beautiful inside. I'm a mess. You don't want it. I don't even want it.
His expression changed as he studied her face.
What is it?
Did someone hurt you? She knew what he was thinking.
No,
Not like that. I wasn't raped or anything.
Did something else happen? Something before? Or something recently?
She didn't want him to think about it. His next question was going to be about when such a thing might have happened. During the day they put up flyers? During the liberation of the jail? He'd get too close to a truth she wasn't willing to share.
No, nothing specific happened. I just don't like myself very much right now.
I like you.
I know you do. I know your folks do, and Pilar, and Joan, and Kurt all do. But that doesn't change how I feel about myself.
You want to talk to me about it? She shook her head.
Please, forget what I said before, about liking you and wanting something with you. Just talk to me as a friend.
He only made her feel worse by trying to be kind to her.
I can't. It's something I have to work out myself.
And when you work it out, you'll like yourself again?
I hope so. But even then, Dev, nothing's going to happen between us.
Is there somebody else?
What? No.
She couldn't imagine that right now. Her sex drive was dead for now. Her interest in romance may be dead forever.
No. It's not someone else. It's not your fault either. You'll be wonderful for the right woman.
He just stared at her, as if he was trying to bore into her brain, or maybe push a message in there. She knew the message, and she felt terrible that she didn't want to hear it. She tried a joke.
I bet your father will be glad you'll never be involved with me.
I don't give a damn what my father thinks, and it might surprise you what he thinks of you. But if you don't love me back, you don't.
Not like that, she said, and tears sprang to her eyes. I'm so sorry, but I don't.
Have a nice watch, he said, and he stalked off. Well, wasn't she just a steaming pile of shit? She was like some natural disaster, doing damage all over the place. She'd done everything wrong but kick Jasper. Later that night, sleepless in bed, she thought again, for the 100th time, about turning herself in to whatever authorities Payson had now. September 1st would be the next trip to Payson, and she could go along and offer herself up to their justice system, whatever that might be. There was some relief in that thought, that the secret would be out, and she'd be punished. But she was afraid. Her cowardice seemed as ugly as the truth. She wasn't thinking clearly. She knew that much. But even if she were, she didn't believe she'd know what the right thing was to do.
Chapter 23 Sierra. Her father sounded angry. She glanced up from her plate of eggs and salsa.
What is wrong? With the eggs? No, not with the eggs. With you. Nothing is wrong with me. Then why are you playing with your food? Why are you eating so little? Why are you up and down all the damn night through?
She looked at her plate. She had been absent-mindedly stirring the scrambled eggs and salsa around and around. It was an appetizing mess, but she bent her head and started shoveling it into her mouth, holding her breath so she wouldn't taste it. Stop. Stop eating and look at me. Swallowing the mouthful she had, she put her fork down and wiped her fingers on the napkin. They had been made by Lisette.
Do you ever wonder about Lisette?
That won't work. We aren't going to talk about Lisette, and we aren't going to talk about your mother, or Emily, or that dog, or my ribs. We're going to sit here and talk about you. She had a childish urge to run into her bedroom and slam the door and lean against it, but she knew that wouldn't work. This is where she lived, the only place she could live now. She couldn't take the car and stay at a friend's in Payson overnight to avoid her father and his questions, like she could have in May. She was stuck here.
Sierra, I'm worried about you.
He had moderated his voice, but the undertone of anger was still there.
I'm fine. Not sick, not injured, Even the little ding on my leg is just a dry scab now.
You know that's not what I'm talking about. You're upset about something, and it shows. Joan noticed it. Kelly noticed it. I notice it every time we're in the same room.
It's nothing, really. Just something I need to work out myself.
But you aren't, he said. I've left you alone for 2 weeks because I thought maybe you would. But you aren't working it out. If anything, you're getting worse.
I'm sorry,
was all she could think of to say. I've talked to you about my depression, right? Is that what this is? Are you thinking about killing? He had to stop for a moment to get control of his voice.
Killing yourself? No, I'm not going to kill myself.
Though the last couple of days, the thought had crossed her mind that if she were dead, she wouldn't feel what she felt. But she hadn't thought about how that death might come about.
Promise me. Promise me you won't, that if you get that urge, you'll come and find me immediately.
Okay, she said, wondering if a promise like that had ever made someone not kill herself who really wanted to.
I want to live.
Is it that we're not fighting anyone? Do you miss the battles and the killing?
No.
She felt her stomach turn over, the salsa and eggs in there wanting to come back up.
No, not at all. I'm glad it's done and hope it's all behind us.
For a long while, 3 minutes at least, he looked at her, and she had no idea what was going on in his head. It was a bit creepy because his face was so serious. Of course, he had no idea what was going on in hers, did he? She couldn't explain where the thought had come from. She didn't think she had a spark of empathy left in her. But she realized that he might be as creeped out by her as she was by him right now. She had a sense he might do or say something he'd never done before. It scared her to imagine what. The night of the fighting, something happened, didn't it? She tensed. Sweetheart, did someone hurt you?
No,
she said. Are you sure? If you were raped, you can—
I wasn't,
she said.
No one said even a rude word to me. Not a look. They were all—
Her throat closed. All what? Pilar said, when she didn't answer. She shook her head, not trusting herself to open her mouth and say a word like respectful. He came out of his chair then and kneeled beside her.
Baby, please, tell me.
Tears poured out of her eyes, and she opened her mouth to refuse, but all that came out was a sob. He reached for her, and she let him, sliding off the chair and holding on to him and letting herself cry. She'd been holding it back so much, afraid he'd hear her if she cried at night, and now it was all coming out. There were a lot of tears built up back there. She cried, and he held her, and every time she tried to say something, all that came out were shuddering breaths. It took a long time to stop, a long, long time before she got control of herself. By then, he was rocking her back and forth and crooning to her like she was an infant. She sucked in a long breath, starved for oxygen. When she let it out, she felt a bunch of tension leave her. Only then did she realize she'd been physically tensed up for days and days. She took another deep breath. Another. The tears were slowing down.
I need a handkerchief,
she said. She hardly recognized her own voice. It was so raspy. He reached back and grabbed a dish towel from the back of his chair.
Here,
he said, and he used it to wipe her face. That made her cry again.
Okay, you do it.
He handed the towel over. She wiped her face. Her shirt was wet.
I have snot everywhere.
She looked at his shirt with a bleary vision.
On you.
I've had worse on me. Are you ready to talk? She shook her head and looked down at the wadded-up dish towel.
You'll hate me.
I will never, ever, in a million years hate you. I'm your father,
And I love you. And I'll always love you.
She looked up. His eyes were damp, too. And she tried to memorize the look on his face while he still felt that way. Either she'd lose his love or his respect in the next few minutes. And it hurt to know it. But the secret was like a cancer inside her, eating her up. She had to tell. Maybe had to tell everyone. And Pilar would be the kindest listener.
I killed a man,
she said, and she looked away immediately so she couldn't see his reaction. He didn't say anything, and she risked a look at him. He was frowning. Then he said, I was worried this would happen. It's gotten to you. You realize what you've been doing and...
No, she said. Or, yes, I guess that's become a part of it by now, but no. I killed a man. Me. Killed him. Took his life.
Yes, he said, but he was obviously confused. She tried to get her thoughts straight, though if she did, it'd be the first time since it had happened.
You've heard of friendly fire?
Of course. You mean you shot someone on our side? She bit her lip and nodded.
I swear it was an accident.
Of course it was. Who?
A man from Payson. He was a nice guy, and in the dark I thought he was one of them, and I shot him in the back. And killed him.
She started crying again.
And I feel like shit.
Of course you do, honey. Of course. But it was an accident. He took her chin and raised it so she'd look at him. You didn't mean to. Stuff happens in war. She shook her head.
No, not to anyone else.
You don't know that. That stopped her.
You mean someone else who died that night might have been fired on by one of us?
Sure, or on the other side. Hell, Joan shot herself accidentally. It happens. I'm not saying you shouldn't feel bad, but you're not the first soldier to do it, or feel bad over it.
He had been in jail for weeks, and you should have seen those jails. Disgusting. And they were packed in there like hens in a commercial farm, sitting in their own shit like them too. And yet he came out of that with kindness and decency and...
She started sobbing again.
I killed him.
Oh, my child, he said, and he pulled her in and hugged her again, patting her back. When she got her breath again, she told him everything she knew about Roy. That he was married, she thought. That he found the canned food, and instead of keeping it for himself, he told her about it. And about the shooting itself. How he didn't respond to the pass signal, and she'd assumed he was an enemy.
The worst thing, she said. The very worst thing of all. And I can't get it out of my head, is that he said if he had a daughter one day, he'd want her to grow up like me.
She wanted to cry again at that, but she was out of tears.
Of course he would. Anyone would. You're an amazing young woman.
She shook her head hard at those words.
I'm awful.
She managed to get out.
No. Just human,
he said. She kept shaking her head. But eventually, the urge to cry stopped. She felt like she could spend every second the whole rest of her life crying in remorse, and it'd still never start to make up for it, or show a fraction of how sorry she was it had happened.
That's some kind of sick irony or something, she said. I'd be proud to have you as a daughter. And then not an hour later, I put two bullets in his back.
It's okay.
It's not okay.
And no one knows?
No. And that's not okay either.
Now I know, Pilar said.
That's a start. But I should tell everyone. Everyone here. And whoever's in charge of Payson. I'm willing to take my punishment, if that's jail or execution.
She didn't want to die. She didn't, not now, but it would be the end of her guilt.
And most of all, I should tell his wife and his kid if he has one.
Sierra, honey, what good would that do?
Good? There's nothing good that can come of this, but it's the right thing, the honorable thing.
No, it's not the right thing. What purpose would it serve if you told his widow? She cringed at that word. She might feel worse, thinking he died for no reason. Right now, she thinks he was a hero of the liberation of Payson. That might be a comfort, even if it'd make you feel better to tell her. Would it make her feel better?
I hadn't thought of that.
And what if the Payson people resented it? They're really angry, I imagine, and a lot of who they are angry at are dead or gone. They could take all that anger and turn it on you.
I've thought of that. Or not about turning it on me. I guess if they tore me into pieces in the Walmart parking lot or lynched me, that'd be no better than I deserved. But I'm afraid they'll punish you, too. You and Arch and Kelly and Kurt and Dev. None of you screwed up down there. It was me. Only me.
I don't know so much about screwing up. But yes, the accident was at your hands.
Is there any way to keep them to only punishing me? To convince them to leave you all out of it?
Not that I can see, he said. The only way out I can see not to risk retaliation is to not tell them, not tell anyone else.
Not even Kelly or Arch?
No, not even Kelly or Arch.
It seems wrong.
You kept it a secret from everyone for 2 weeks. I think you can keep it a secret from everyone but me for longer.
I don't know.
I do. I totally know. Got me? Don't mention it to anyone else, at least until the November 1st visit down there. Let yourself get some distance before you decide. Let Payson get some distance and start to heal. You can talk to me about it, any time, any place. I'll drop everything if you need me for this.
Are you sure that's what I should do?
I'm sure. Promise you'll come to me if it overwhelms you, or if you feel hopeless. Or if you feel like telling someone else.
Okay.
Promise. He grabbed both her arms and held on hard.
I promise, she said. Your grip is good.
Your ribs must be better.
They are,
thanks to your help. I can't make it without you, sweetheart. You know that, don't you?
I kinda like you too.
He laughed, but it was a pained sound. I'm glad to hear it. If you love me, you won't do anything more about this without talking it over with me first.
I feel like a coward for hiding it.
He rolled his eyes. If there is one quality you do not possess in any amount, it's cowardice, moral or otherwise. Sierra cast around inside herself. Her body felt better, as if she'd purged some poison. Her mind, which had been spinning since that night, was spinning slower, but she didn't feel anything she could call good. She still felt like a murderer, and like she should be punished. She didn't much like herself. That was the main thing. But maybe, she believed for the first time since it had happened, she might one day learn to hate herself less.
Chapter 24 This is your chance to be brave again. Be brave by keeping us all safe. It was something her father had said to her last night when she'd had another bad moment about keeping her secret from everyone else, feeling again like a coward shirking her responsibility. He really didn't want her to tell, and part of her didn't want to tell either. She worried it was a terrible part of her. The chickens were all sitting on their eggs. They had 4 hens brooding now. She and Pilar had built another 2 brood boxes, as they'd never needed 4 before. This morning, she'd taken out 2 eggs that had failed to develop, the quitters. She was sitting on the back deck with a bushel basket of the earliest corn, readying it for lunch, thinking about what her father had said last night.
Keep talking to me. I'll do anything you need to help you. And please, look around you.